two Sundays ago, I was talking to two dear saints. Pastor, I mentioned them before. Sister Jeannie Ochoa and her mama. And as we were talking, she was telling me about, Sister Jeannie was telling me about how her friend went over to Jerusalem. And that when she came back, she brought a mixture of myrrh and frankincense. And I said, she did? She said, yeah. I said, well, how did it smell? She said, it smells like a flower. And I thought about that, and this song was put on my heart to sing. For just a little while, he came and walked among us. You were planted in this earth as a tender flower you grew. For it was the Father's plan before time it was decided that no one else but show God's love like heaven rose could do. Now everyone should know that you are heaven rose. You are sent by your Father his holy love to show. Now in this old world of care, still your fragrance fills the air. For where goodness walked among us on this earth at heaven rose. As a candle in the night, oh, your love just keeps on glowing. As a witness to this world of how true love should be. Now one day upon this earth, heaven rose again will blossom, and your glory be revealed, and every eye shall see. Everyone should know that you are heaven rose. Oh, you are sent by the Father his holy love to show. Now in this whole world of care, your fragrance still fills the air. For where goodness walked among us on this earth at heaven rose. The most beautiful rose, oh, we were broken one day, and it was nailed to that tree on a hill far away. Now everyone will know that you are heaven rose. Oh, where goodness walked among us on this earth at heaven rose. Now, once again, you will walk among us on this earth, oh, as heaven rose. Now just one moon will do. Praise God, just one rose, my friend. One moon.
All right. Hey, brother buddy.
Let's all stand and turn to 676. 676. Jesus saves. Have to sing this with a smile on your face.
Amen.
We have heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves. Jesus saves.
Jesus saves. prayer, please.
Father, again, we just are very thankful for this place that we can gather, sing praise unto you, hear your word. Father, we ask now as we partake of this offering that you would multiply it, not only here at this corner, but the mission field that we support around the world, that we will be careful to give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Calendars this Saturday to come here at 6 o'clock, and we're going to have the gospel concert given by everybody, and it's a really great blessing to your heart. Sometimes we have poem readings, and sometimes you might even get to hear Brother Sam and Sister Betsy sing, and the preacher. He might even sing his tadpole song, you know, or something good. I want to hear him sing Yellow Dog, you know, but as long as Rita's not here, then he won't get in trouble. You'll have to hear that song one day. This man has written so many good songs, and got to hear them, because they're full of message and fun. So, right now, Naomi and I, we're going to sing Written in Red. That's a good song right before communion.
Love on a hillside so long, long. I did too. I thought somebody really liked that. Oh, that's good. And very appropriate song to sing before our communion. This is the first Sunday of September, October, November, December.
Don't say.
Woo! My.
Only 9 days till Christmas.
Isn't that something? Start counting down for Christmas. My, my. Anyway, ushers, would you come at this time, please, and we'll prepare for the communion. I want to read you a scripture here from 1 Corinthians, what the Apostle Paul wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit about this. And here's what he wrote to the congregation of the church at Corinth back in his day. He said, "For I have received of the Lord that which I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.' After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come.'" And Jesus is coming. We're looking for that wonderful day. And this is something he instructed us to do till he comes. So, gentlemen, if you will. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you today for this bread, this unleavened bread that represents your body without sin, being offered for the sins of the world. We thank you, Father, for giving your only begotten Son. And we thank you for his love and compassion that he had for us, in that he willingly laid down his life for us. His body was bruised and broken on Calvary. And as we take this bread today, we remember that time, and we thank you for being made sin for us, you who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we remember years ago in the land of Egypt, the Passover lamb was slain. His blood was spilt. His blood was applied to the lintels and the doorposts and provided protection for those that were under the blood. We thank you for the blood that was shed on Calvary's cross by our Passover lamb who paid the ransom for our sins by the shedding of his own blood. And as we partake of this cup today, we come with thanksgiving in our hearts for that sacrifice that you made for us. Help us to remember that it is because of the blood that we are the children of God. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Evening at 6 o'clock. Remember the evening service. Lord willing, I'll be bringing a message from Luke chapter 16. I would challenge you today, this afternoon, to read that and to prepare your heart for a message from Luke chapter 16. The scripture reference is in the bulletin. And Wednesday evening, we will be beginning a new series of lessons that I think you'll enjoy and appreciate from the Word of God, good Bible study that we have prepared for you. Remember that, 6 o'clock. And then, of course, Saturday evening at 6 o'clock, the musical here at the church. We are happy to have Brother Pierce with us today. We enjoyed the presentation he made during the Sunday school hour. Looking forward now to hearing a message from the Word of God brought to us by this man of God, Brother Harold Pierce. God bless you.
Turn this on here and see if it works. There we go. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Pastor. We've enjoyed ourselves already. I've enjoyed both special music. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
What a blessing. And we've enjoyed it already. It's been a blessing. I was thinking already, man, I love longevity. And Pastor was sharing with me a little bit about longevity and sharing with me a little bit about his age. And I told him, I said, you look good, amen?
Amen?
And I said, praise God. I said, if I can get some of that longevity, I'm doing pretty good. And I said, what kind of orange juice you drink, amen? and I need some of that OJ, amen? I need to keep drinking my orange juice, I guess. And I do like coffee, amen? And I was telling one of the guys when I first landed in El Trajan, Spain on a MAC flight one time, I was a young soldier and I was pretty tired, and that was the first time I got introduced to espresso, amen? And I stayed up for the next 24 hours and I didn't sleep, and I still like espresso, amen? But Karen says I need to go to sleep, so she makes sure I don't drink too much caffeine at night. So she makes sure I don't drink too much coffee at night. So I make sure I don't drink as much coffee. Let's turn our Bibles for the next few minutes to the book of Acts, chapter number 1. I try to be mindful of time. I learned over the years that the mind can only take what the seat can endure. Amen? And I realize that. And when some guys come, they say, I'm going to give you a thought. They want to give you a thesis. Amen? And I'm not going to give you a thesis. I'm going to give you a thought because I'm mindful of the time. I knew there was a lot going on this morning. I realize you're trying to get communion. You got a message. You got everything going on. I realize that the stomach is speaking. Amen? And I know what noontime means. I know what Labor Day means. I know that there's plans going on. I've got a few years of ministry, not as much as pastor, but I understand ministry. And I've worked with military long enough. I know that things are busy. I kind of feel like that taxi driver and that missionary that went to heaven, amen? They both got to heaven and Peter was there. Peter took that taxi driver and he did as he was told, and he followed Peter to this really excited looking mansion. It had anything you can imagine, from a bowling alley to an Olympic sized pool. It had this huge screen TV in there. And man, the taxi driver was excited. He got more than anything you can imagine that a taxi driver would get in heaven. Next, Peter led the missionary to a nice mansion, but he had a bunk bed and just a wee little old television set and just like a, not even a, as big as a swimming pool. And the missionary said, wait a second, I think you're a little mixed up. Shouldn't I be the one that gets everything a little bit more elaborate? After all, I went to church every day. I planted churches. I passed out gospel tracts. Man, I was the faithful missionary. I did everything that a missionary should do. I planted churches, planted gospel tracts, planted churches, went out every day, and I did everything that I'd called my supporting churches. I sent out faithful letters like I should. Yes, that's true. But during your sermons, people slept. But when the taxi driver drove, everyone prayed. The taxi driver was getting an awards, amen? All right.
Everybody remember that one. That was good.
Acts chapter number 1. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the season which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, and all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now there's some things that we can see in this chapter. We know that the Lord was showing himself alive for 40 days. And they begin to ask the questions about the restoration of the kingdom. Now, the Lord could have shown himself alive for one day. That would have been good enough for me. But the Lord chose 40 days. And during that time, do you remember old Doubting Thomas? Amen. Old Doubting Thomas. Now, me and Doubting Thomas, we're kind of buddies. Have you ever struggled at times about what God was doing or maybe a situation God put you in? Have you ever been there and you said, Lord, I'm really struggling about what's going on? Have you ever been there? Old Thomas said, Lord, is it really you? And the Lord said, okay, Thomas, it's me. Go ahead and touch me, Thomas, it's me. You remember that? Have you ever said, Lord, I'm really struggling with this thing of faith sometimes. I'm struggling how far you want me to go, when you want me to go, how you want me to do this. And the Lord says, don't worry, Harold. Everything's all right. And when God says everything's all right, it's all right. Amen? I'm glad the Lord knows how to give us that assurance. And then the second thing we see here in this chapter, God gives them the command to be the witness. Remember, they were eyewitnesses. Some of them were the eyewitness of his life. They were eyewitnesses of his death, his burial, and now his resurrection. And then he said, I want you to be a witness about that. I want you to go tell every man, woman, boy, and girl what you have seen. Now that seems like a pretty great responsibility, doesn't it? He was going to shoulder them with something. But then he was going to take that responsibility off their shoulder. Why? Because he was going to give them an ability, power to get the work of God done. He said, I'm going to give you the power to get it done. And here we see an ability, power to get the work of God done. You know, God's never going to give us a weight or a responsibility to do that he cannot give us the power to get it done. Isn't that wonderful? When God gives us something to do, he gives us the power to get it done. Then the third thing that we see here, we see the gathering of Christ here with his saints, and he's going back to heaven. Amen. In John chapter 14, he said, if I go, I will prepare what? A place. And he said, if I go, I will come back. I love working with military over the years. I told him that he's preparing a what? Mansion. Mansion. He said he's going to prepare a mansion. He's preparing a place. He's preparing mansions. You know, one wonderful thing about working with the military over the years, he's not preparing military housing for them. Amen? You that have been in the military, you know that. Every 2 or 3 years you experience move. And one of the greatest things you were excited about when you got out, man, a permanent place to live. Amen? And I used to tell the ladies overseas, don't worry, you're not going to have military housing up there. Amen? You don't have to worry about base commander. You're not going to have to worry about a stairwell master or a stairwell leader. You're going to have Jesus that's going to be up there, and you're going to have a permanent dwelling. And I love it when they get out, they're able to get somewhere permanent to live. But Jesus is gathering and he's going back to heaven. And then the fourth thing that we see them, he leaves them continuing to build his church, because we know over there in the book of Matthew, chapter number 16, verse 18, he says, upon this rock I will build my church. And he wasn't talking about Peter. He was talking about himself, that he was the founder and the starter of the church. He said, I'm the founder. He said, upon this rock myself, I am building my church. And over here in Acts, he's saying, continue to build my church and start right here in Jerusalem and continue to build my church. Amen. And he said, right here, go out in the highways and the byways and compel my people to come in and go tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ and go out and witness and start right here in Jerusalem and continually branch out and tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, what I want you to do, I want you to tell every man, woman, boy, and girl what you've seen. You saw the death, the life, and the resurrection. He said, go out here in Jerusalem and tell everybody. Then he said, when you get done with Jerusalem, I want you to go out into Judea. Then I want you to go out into Samaria. And then I want you to go out into the othermost.
Hey.
Now, if I can illustrate this, anybody like to volunteer? I know we got a lot of veterans, so no one volunteers here, amen? I'm like you. I remember as a young private, I went in, I never volunteered, amen? I remember first time I went in, anybody said, who wants to drive an M36? Man, I wasn't volunteer. I never volunteered when I went in the military. I was stone-faced, pierced. They said, who wants to drive that M36? I determined I was never volunteer. And guess who that drill sergeant first volunteered? Was Pierce, amen? Sure enough, you know what it was? It was a big push broom I drove.
Yeah.
I swept that whole motor pool by myself, amen? And I said, this is what the Army calls building men, breaking me down first, man. I swept that whole motor pool, man. I was up all night. But you know what I determined? That I wasn't going to let that drill sergeant know he think he was breaking me down. Amen? Man, I went in the bathroom before I let him know I was breaking me down. I said, the Army says they're building me men. I said, this is part of it, huh? I said, this is what I came in. Man, I was like, man, I ain't volunteering never or never. I never volunteered. I didn't volunteer. He came up to me. But I wasn't going to tell him that. Amen? I just did what I was told. That's the best way to get along. Amen? Anybody want to volunteer yet? But here's how we go with this. He said, I want you to go to Jerusalem. Then I want you to go into Judea. Then I want you to go into Samaria. Then I want you to go into the uttermost. Let me illustrate this to you. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then the uttermost. Notice how this works. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost. Let me illustrate this. See how it's going forward? How many are right around the church? Raise your hand. How many live right around the church? Raise your hand. Good. How many live outside the area from the church? Raise your hand. Oh, good. How many live a little bit further from outside that area? Raise your hand. Oh, now we're getting it. You see? See how it's working? Now, the uttermost is what your missionaries are doing on the field. But simultaneously, it's still going on. Are you with me? They're doing the same thing that you're doing here. This verse is written in a progressive form. It's written in a forward progressive. So that's telling me the church is moving forward continually. And it's going to continue to move forward until and after Jesus comes. That's exciting. You say, well, Brother Pierce, what do you mean? Not bad for a Labor Day weekend. The auditorium's still over half full. Not too bad, huh? Souls still get saved at Chula Vista Bible Baptist Church. Not bad, huh?
Amen.
You're still supporting missionaries, amen?
Amen.
Not bad, huh? I entitled the message, This is Why We Can Still Reach the World for Christ. This is why we can still reach the world for Christ. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for the blessings of God. Thank you for God's people meeting together. Thank you for God's people taking an important time today being in your house. Let us be an encouragement to them. Thank you for their commitment to missions all around the world. In Jesus' name, amen. Notice, if you will, the book of Mark, chapter number 8. Mark, chapter number 8. In verse number 35, 36, and 37. Mark chapter number 8. I jot this down while you're turning this there. Every heart with Christ is a missionary. Every heart without Christ is a mission field. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit if a man... But what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Now you could put a price tag on a lot of different things in life. On a house, a boat, a car. But you know what? You can't put a price tag on a soul of a man, woman, boy, or girl. Amen? Amen. So you know what that's telling me here? You can't put a price tag on missions. Amen? I can't put a price tag on your soul. So that's telling me today the value of missions. If you were the only one living, Jesus would have died for you. We sang that song about God loved the world. Amen. I like that song about the rose. So the value of missions is this. It's priceless. It's priceless. It's priceless. I couldn't put a price tag on your soul. You're priceless. Amen? If you're the only one living, Jesus would have died for you. I think about 2.6 million with reserve included, the military men and women, they're already willing to lay down their life. I couldn't put a price tag on their soul. Amen? It's priceless. The value of missions, I believe that it's priceless. Then I think of the value of missions, I believe it's priority. Now is the time to reach them, amen? We have such an opportunity to reach out to men, women, boys, and girls. How many would agree the gospel is always good, amen? But it's only good if we can get it there. We got to continually get it there. Then here's the value of missions. I believe that it's profitable. Now, here's what we call the treasure principle. Are you with me this morning? What are you going to take with you when you leave this old world? But you can send it ahead. Amen? You can send it ahead. Now, here's what I believe. How many's ever said missionaries are our heroes? I've said that all the time. I believe this, that you're going to get the same reward as your missionaries are. As they win a soul and you're supporting a missionary, you're going to get that same reward because you're in God's will just as much as they are. As they see a soul saved and you give their part of their ministry, you're praying for them and you're giving to their ministry, and you're being where God wants you to be, and they're being where God wants them to be, you're going to get the same reward as they are because you're where God wants you to be. Are you with me?
Yeah.
And that's that treasure principle because you're just as much as part of their ministry as they're being there. And that's that treasure principle because you're being where God wants you to be. And you're playing a part just as much as that ministry as they are because you're answering God's call here and they're answering God's call there. And you're being a team player just as much as they are, being a part of their team. And so you're just as part of their ministry as they are. Amen. And as people have labored and been part of our ministry over the years, they get that same part with us. And it's a blessing. See, that's what I call the treasure principle. That's the profitability of missions. Amen? Then let me give you the vision of missions. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. We all heard the verse. Where there is no vision. Now, I like good vision. I got contacts in this morning. But if I was to pull out my glasses, you'd say he's got binoculars on. Amen? Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Every time I go to my doctor's, he keeps turning it up a notch. Amen? Next year, he tells me I'm getting the bifocals. He's telling me they're coming. And I keep asking him. He says, you're getting close to them. He says, I think you can hold off this year. He says, probably in a year or two, you're getting close to bifocals. And he says, the only reason you haven't got them now is because I keep giving you the thicker lenses. I said, well, good. Just keep the thick lenses on for right now. I'll be all right. But he says, the bifocals are coming, Harold. And he says, you're not going to escape it. He says, age is coming with you, son. And he says, your youth is leaving you. I said, well, I guess with age comes a few good things, amen? And but I think of the vision of missions. We need vision, amen? I like clear vision. The clear vision of mission is, Lord, let me see. May we never forget to see the souls of men, women, boys, and girls. That's the vision of missions. Lord, let me see. Lord, let me see. I think that's why a pastor, over the 52 years, has a burden to have a conference or maybe go on the mission trip and to have missions in front of you. Then the vision of missions is a concern vision. Lord, let me go. Lord, let me go. Lord, let me go. And I'll say this. Who's going to be the next one to help us with Armed Forces Baptist Missions? I'm in the recruiting end. I need some help. Who's going to be the next couple that's going to come help us? I want to see you. I mean that. You say, well, we're too old. No, you're just the right age. Come see me. We want to use you. Amen. I like to pre-screen talk to you. Amen. I'm looking for some couples. I'm recruiting. I'm looking for some single missionaries. Amen. I'm looking for some younger missionaries, middle-aged missionaries, older missionaries, mature missionaries. Amen. That's what I always call them. I had a 65-year-old couple singer not too long ago. They're just getting started. That's what I said. They are. That's a young couple. they're shouting it out, man. They pull up that travel trailer up next to that young missionary couple. They're like, hey, where are we putting these tracks out, preacher? Man, they're shouting it out with that family. That's that concern vision. Then the considerate. Lord, I'm not led to go, but let me continue to help others go. Amen. Then the third part of missions is the victory of missions. Acts chapter number 2, verse 41 is this. I love this verse. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. They received his word, they were baptized, and they were added unto the church. And notice they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and breaking the bread and prayers. They were fellowshipping. I think they were having potluck in here somewhere. Amen. Somehow I think this definitely was a Baptist church because they were potlucking. Amen. This definitely was potluck. I heard it said like this: seek them, reap them, and keep them. Amen. Or if you like another outline, win them, wet them, and work them. Amen. But here's the victory of missions. Soul saved. What a wonderful thing it is to see souls saved. Then to see saints sanctified. That's when people get saved. God sets them apart for his purpose. Where God sets people apart and watching them serve him. What a wonderful joy when God saved you that he set you apart for a purpose to be used for him. Through the years, hasn't it been wonderful how God has used people in this church and you've been eyewitnesses of it? Then the scripture sought out over the last several years to watch different people come through the military ministry that we've been associated with. I think of this last ministry, and I think of this one last person we've been able to touch, and there's been several, but this last term, and on the verge of, we were out doing some flyering, and a gentleman came up to us, and we were doing some flyers, and he said, hey, you can't put flyers in them boxes. And he kind of just told me, and he said, you must be a preacher. Only a preacher would put flyers in a box. You can't put flowers in a box. He said, no one reads them anyhow. And he kind of laughed. And so I introduced who we were. And he said, I'll tell you what, I'll put them in the barracks for you. And I introduced and we talked. And so he was going to put them in the barracks. And we talked for a little bit. And he said, Pastor, he said, I've had the roughest day of my life. He said, I just got kicked out of my house. And he said, I'd like to be able to talk to you. I said, sure, I'd love to talk to you. And I told Karen, I said, honey, I said, won't you go ahead and take the vehicle, go ahead and go home. I said, I'm going to talk to Jerry for a little bit. So Jerry and I, we talked for a little bit. And I said, Jerry, I said, you talk to me for a little bit. And we're just going to get to know each other. I said, I'll tell you what, I'm going to haul your whole furniture. And I hauled his whole house in. And we started talking a little bit. And he told me he had three little girls. And I said, isn't it wonderful when you girls call you daddy? He got all excited. And I told him, I love when my little girl calls me daddy. And so he began to share with me some more things and kind of make a long story short. He asked me, he said, Pastor, if I share some things with you, it's confidential. I said, Jerry, anything you share with me is confidential. I said, I'm not going to run to your chain of command and share anything. I said, because it's between me and you as a pastor. I said, but I want to make sure if there's anything that about your safety, we need to really be concerned about it. And he broke down and he said, Pastor, I've had the hardest time. He said, I just got kicked out of my house. He said, I've served three tours in Iraq. I stopped him. I gave him a hug. I said, Jerry, I said, I love you. I said, that's why I do what I do. I said, I'm a Desert Storm veteran. He shared with me some things that happened in his marriage. It was ugly. He said, Pastor, I'm contemplating suicide tonight. I said, Jerry, I said, no one commits suicide until we have coffee. That's what I said. I said, let's go have coffee. I said, we need coffee right now. We started having coffee. We started talking. We started discussing some things. I said, Jerry, I said, the Lord don't want you to do that tonight. I said, I don't want you to do that. I said, Jerry, you can't do that tonight. A couple hours. I said, Jerry, I'm hungry. I said, we need to go have Big Mac and French fries, Jerry. He said, Pastor, you haven't preached to me. I said, Jerry, you put a lot on me. I said, I got a big sermon for you coming. I said, let's go have Big Mac and French fries. So we went and had Big Mac and French fries. So we're over at McDonald's. And I said, Jerry, I said, do you know the Lord is your Savior? I said, do you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior? And he said, Pastor, he said, before I went in the army, I asked the Lord to save me. He said, but I'm not saved. I said, why would you say that, Jerry? He said, oh, he said, I got away from the Lord. I said, what made you think that the Lord got away from you? I said, he's right where he was before you. And I went over eternal security with Jerry. I said, Jerry, I said, the Lord's already told me what we needed to do tonight. We need to pray. He said, Pastor, I haven't prayed so long. He said, the Lord don't want to hear from me. I said, Jerry, I said, I think he wants to hear more from you than me. Matter of fact, I know he wants to hear more from you than me. He said, Pastor, it's been so long since I prayed. I said, Jerry, he wants to hear from you tonight. I said, I'll tell you what, Jerry, I'll pray with you. I got on my knees and I had my Bible. Got back. We were in the van, truck, and got back to the room and started talking some more. I said, Jerry, I want to pray with you. Got back to the room. Had my Bible like this. I said, Jerry, would you just kind of bow and I just want to pray. I was on my knees like this and I had my Bible. He said, Pastor, it's been a long time since I prayed. I said, that's all right. You'll be all right. I said, just let me pray with you. I said, dear Lord, I said, if Jerry thinks about doing what he's going to do tonight, I said, he's never going to hear them girls cry daddy. he broke out in tears. God broke that man's heart. And he cried out, "Oh God, forgive me. Lord, help me to do the right thing." I said, "Jerry," I said, "tonight I'm staying with you all night. You've got to commit that you're going to not do anything like that." I said, "We're going to make some moves to go talk to some people to make sure everything's all right." I said, "Now we're going to have to work through the chaplain because he's in the military. He's going to make things happen about your situation." I said, "But they're going to let me counsel with you because I'm your pastor now, right?" He said, "Oh yeah, you're my pastor now." I said, "Good." I said, "Now they'll let me counsel with you because I'm your pastor." You know what the Lord did? Jerry stayed with us for over 2.5 years. Jerry got his career in order. And Jerry was later honorably discharged. God knows how to use the military ministry. Thank the Lord. We can help people. Amen. Let's pray. With heads bowed and eyes closed, and no one looking around. I just want to ask you this. How many would say by the uplifted hands, "I know without a shadow of a doubt that if I was to die today, I know I'm on my way to heaven"? You could raise your hand. God bless you. God bless you. I wonder if there's anybody here you would say, "I'm not for sure that I'm saved. You would want me to pray for you." Is there anyone like that here today? You would raise your hand. Pray for me. Okay. Okay. I'm going to ask the pastor to come for the invitation. I don't know how the invitation is normally prayed, but I'm going to ask the pastor to come for the invitation because he normally leads in the invitation. He knows how to, as far as the normal leading of the invitation here.
Heavenly Father, you know the hearts of all of the people that are here today. We pray that you would speak to each and every one of us. Give us the message that we need from you. If there are those here today that are unsaved, speak to their heart and show them the way of the cross leads home. If there are those today that need a closer walk with you, we pray that they would just grab a hold of your coattails and hold on to you and not let go, but follow you all the days of their lives. We ask, Father, that you would just touch our hearts now. Draw us closer unto yourself. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together, sing a verse of invitation song.
493.
Congregation today. We appreciate you being here. Out in the lobby, there's a display out there that Brother Pierce has set up. Take a moment on your way out and take a look at the things that he has out there. And we appreciate their being with us today. And if you enjoyed their ministry, come by and let them know. All right?
Amen.
And we'll see you tonight in the evening service. Brother Sam Burton, will you lead us, please, in our benediction this morning?